The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Death with a Punch on an episode of Mystery House, and Liz takes up painting as Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin star in The Marriage. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio. After today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Liz takes up painting as Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin star in The Marriage. Right now, Death with a Punch on this episode of Mystery House from 1946 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Mystery House. Mystery House, that strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
This story we're trying out for Mystery House novel tonight, Barbie, a murder with a punch. What's the big punch?
It's not that kind of a punch, Dan. The story deals with a Punch and Judy show.
Oh, you mean those little wooden dummies that the performer works with his hands from under the stage?
That's right, hand puppets. I think they're fascinating. A good Punch and Judy operator can make them almost human.
Oh, I disagree, Mrs. Glenn. The Punch and Judy voices are always too unnatural. If you're going to say anything, why not say it in a natural voice, like this? Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, where the community chest is at work, Red Feather services like youth programs and clinics, hospitals, and the USO give direct help to 2 families out of 5 every year. And indirectly, everybody benefits. Because community chest services make America's cities and towns healthier, happier places to live. So give generously to your community chest. Pledge enough for all the community campaigns that are united under the Red Feather banner.
Okay, places, everybody. Set the scene for tonight's story, will you, Tom?
Death with a Punch. The story opens in a dressing room of the Mirador nightclub. Jeff Rocklin, owner of the club, hands a little envelope to one of the performers.
Yes, you notice, Gigi. Saturday night.
But look, Mr. Rocklin. You brought me into the Mirador on a contract for 6 a week.
So I made a mistake. We all make mistakes once in a while, don't we? Your rack's no good, Gigi.
No good? The Grand Guignol Punch and Judy show no good. The finest hand-carved puppets in the world. My father and grandfather spent their lives building this act. I've got testimonial letters from royalty, from presidents,
You've got an act that, as far as nightclubs are concerned, is strictly from hunger, Gigi.
No, that is not so. The Berlin Winter Garden, the Vienna Olympia, the London Palladium, the New York Palace, all holdovers. Top billing. An international success. The finest hand puppet show in all the world, and you, a cheap nightclub operator, an ex-gangster.
Got it, KJ. I don't like that kind of talk. Your rack's out after tomorrow night. You're done. Through.
But I turned down engagements to take this.
You know what that act of yours ought to be playing, KJ? Little girls' birthday parties. That's about its speed. I bet you'd knock the little kiddies for a loop.
You'll pay me for the balance of my contract?
Are you kidding? You're lucky you're getting paid for the week you've been here, you bum.
I'll report you. You fill that contract or I'll see you get no more act.
No, you won't, because I'll have a receipt to show I paid off.
You have no such thing.
I said I will have. Here's the receipt. See? All made out. And I've even got a fountain pen for you to sign it with. Right now. Here.
You think I'm crazy? You think I'd sign a receipt for money I'll never see?
I think you better, Gagey. It'd be good business.
You do not scare me.
Of course not. But you know how it is. A guy does his act, satisfies everybody, going along fine, getting paid. And then he has an accident. Away from the club, of course. Away from me, too. Being dead, he can't fill his contract.
You would not dare kill me.
Oh, now, what kind of talk is that, Gigi? I never killed anybody. If I got friends that, well, are kind of rough, can I help it? Just because they're bad don't make me that way, does it? Come on now, sign.
No. I'll get your license revoked. You will not be able to hire any acts at all. I will run you out of business.
I got boys on my payroll would take care of you without the flicker of an eyelid, Gigi. And that's just about break my heart, too. You're going to sign this or not?
No. You think you are very brave and tough. Well, maybe I'm brave and tough, too. I have a contract. I know my rights. Now, get out of my dressing room.
What? Hey, what is that thing?
The little club punch uses to hit Judy over the head in my puppet show. Get out before I break it over your head. Get out!
Okay, sucker. Suit yourself. But don't say I didn't give you a chance.
Oh, don't worry about him, Gigi. Rockland's a grade A heel, and as big a bluff as he is a rat. He tried to pull a fast one on you, and it didn't work. He'll pay off your contract. He has to, the bum.
He says I'm through after tonight. I've already made a report to the union, Connie. You think my act is bad?
I think it's the cutest act I ever saw in my life. Those little wooden puppets are darn near human the way you handle them. It sort of makes me feel like a little girl again.
Thank you.
You know the real reason he's firing you, don't you?
No. He said he doesn't like the act.
He wouldn't know a good act from a flop. You came in here at top money, a big build-up and all that. And Rockland's hard up as the devil.
Hard up? But the club is crowded. The prices are high.
I know. And the money's going out faster than it's coming in. There's a payoff somewhere that's got him scared to death. He's scraping up every dime he can get his fingers on.
What? Are you sure?
Well, there's no other answer. The club's rolling in money, and Rockland's broke. And I mean broke.
This payoff, you know who he's making it to? For what?
No. All I know is there's something going on. Somebody has him right where they want him. And it's somebody who's really turning on the heat.
Connie, if anything should happen to Rockland, if he should have an accident...
Not a chance. With all the thugs watching out for him all the time.
But if such a thing should happen, my contract would still be good. You'd be free, isn't that true?
Hey, you act sort of excited. You're not thinking of bumping Rockland off, are you?
Oh, no. But I think Mr. Rockland has gone too far. I think he's about due for some trouble. Thanks to you.
Thanks to me?
You have answered the question that has been bothering me, Connie. With your story about the payoff, I think I'll fill out the period of my contract. I think everything is going to be all right.
Hey, what was that?
The door. I thought it was closed, but it must have been open a crack.
Somebody was listening to us, to what we said.
So what? We said nothing anybody could use against us. Do not be so nervous.
Face to face in a fist fight, I'd almost bet on myself to whip Rockland. But he doesn't fight with his fists, and he doesn't fight face to face. If he was spying on us, well, I'll admit it, I'm scared.
It is he who should be frightened, Connie, not us. Mr. Rockland is just about through.
Just a minute, I will see you a little bit.
Evening, Mr. G.G.
Good evening.
Say, you shouldn't leave your dressing room light on. Mr. Rockland would find out you went out without turning it off. He'd be sore. kind of mean that way.
But I did not leave the light on. I turned it off, I am sure.
Maybe so, but I walked past a couple of minutes ago and saw the light on and stopped to talk to you. The room was empty, that's sure. And the light was on. I snapped her off.
Thank you.
Oop, here comes Rockland now. Evening, Mr. Rockland.
Hi, Pop. I want to talk to you alone, Gidgy.
We have nothing to discuss.
I got a call from the union.
I know. It would be bad for you now if anything should happen to me, Mr. Rockland. You see, I told them all about the little threats you made.
Yeah, so they told me. Looks like there's nothing for me to do but pay off, huh?
I hoped you would see it that way.
Pop, didn't you hear me say I wanted to talk to this guy private?
Me? Oh, sure, Mr. Rockland. I was just standing here.
Well, don't stand there. Get moving. Guy can't do anything around this joint without somebody rubbernecking.
Oh, I didn't mean anything, Mr. Rockland. And I didn't hear a thing.
Speaking of rubbernecking, Mr. Rockland, somebody was listening outside my door while I was talking to Connie Claire this afternoon.
Yeah? Did it scare you?
No, I just mention it.
Yeah, if it was nothing of any importance, you got nothing to worry about.
But if it were something important?
Then if I was you, I would worry about it, Gigi. Look, I've changed my mind about firing you.
Oh, that is very touching. What made you change your mind?
Who cares? The point is you stay. Maybe I'm getting soft for puppets.
It is quite impossible for me to continue, Mr. Rockland. You gave me my notice, but you will pay for the balance of the contract 5 weeks without my stay. I take a little vacation at your expense.
Okay, Gigi. Suit yourself.
And it would be most embarrassing for you if anything should happen to me.
You mean about the union? You're telling them about what I said might happen to you?
That too. But I stumbled onto a very important piece of information.
What are you talking about?
The person you're giving so much money to. The payoff.
What? Listen,
now, do not get excited. I will not hurt you if you behave yourself.
You know something. Something I want to know, too. This is worth dough to you, Gigi. More dough than those puppets could make you in 1,000 years.
You do not need to try to impress me, Mr. Rockland.
Are you a fool? I'm leveling.
Leveling? That means being honest, doesn't it?
Sure.
Interesting, if true.
We're going to make a deal, Gigi.
Later. They are moving my Punch and Judy stage onto the floor.
Gigi, you're on!
Coming! Now, the Club Mirador presents the most unusual novelty of the year, Gigi and his Grand Guignol Punch and Judy Show.
Hooray! Hooray! That's what I like, puppets. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, my little puppets are not operated by strings. The oldest and classic form of puppetry, they are controlled by the human hand from beneath the stage. At several times during the performance, there will be 3 puppets active upon the stage and only 1 person, myself, operating them. Try to figure it out. I thank you. And now, in just a moment, the Grand Guignol Punch and Judy.
Hello, folks. I'm Mr. Punch, and you know something? I'm a bad, bad boy. I kill people. Just a regular killer-diller. Would you like to meet my wife? Judy! Oh, Judy!
What is it, Punchy?
Come on up and meet the folks.
I don't want to.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I won't do it, Punch.
If you don't, I'll come after you with this revolver. I'll fix you good. Remember, I'm a bad boy.
I'm not afraid of you. Come right ahead.
Okay, I will. Excuse me, folks.
Oh, Rockland! Jeff Rockland! Gigi! Somebody quick, it's Jenny Graham. She's been shot.
Stay quiet. Not so loud. What are you trying to do anyway?
Listen, she's been murdered. She was standing in the wings watching Gigi's action. She was shot.
Gigi, huh? I knew that guy was poisoned.
The gun. The punch gun. Somebody put real bullets in it. I fired the blanks toward the floor and real bullets come out.
Who do you think you're pulling, Gigi? Fired the bullets toward the floor. Look.
Oh, the singer. Jenny Graham. So, you kill her and you think you'll pin it on me. Well, Mr. Rockland, you will not.
Shut up, Gigi. I'm calling the cops, and it looks like you're canceling your own act for good.
Jenny Graham, the singer? And why should she be killed? If that's not enough to puzzle yourself about, was she killed by a bullet from the gun the little punch puppet was holding? We'll find out in the second act of tonight's story.
Dentists know what cleans teeth best. And over 4,000 dentists say Colgate tooth powder with a two-minute routine gets teeth sparkling and super clean. So to remove dull film and get your teeth shining clean, just brush teeth 2 minutes morning and night with Colgate tooth powder.
And now, Act Two of Death with a Punch. The customers have been unceremoniously ushered from the Club Mirador, and Jerry James, ex-song and dance man turned police detective, has taken over.
All right, sit down, all of you. I never saw a guy working with puppets yet that wasn't screwy.
Sir, this is the finest hand puppet act in the world.
I know, and you sure brought the house down tonight, chum. Punch and Judy. I didn't know there was a punch act still on the road. Where'd you come from? Out of the woodwork?
My act has headlined at the...
Skip it. Sure. You're big time. Now, why'd you kill this dame, huh? Well?
I did not kill her. I scarcely knew her.
That's right, Mr. James. Only woman in the place I ever see him do any visiting with was Connie here.
Oh, you want to get into the act too, huh? What are you, a juggler or an acrobat?
Pop's a stage carpenter. Takes care of everything backstage.
Oh. Now, don't tell me. Let me guess. You're Jeff Rocklin.
Yeah.
This is a real pleasure, Rocklin. The boy's thinking awful lot of you down at headquarters. You know what the chief says about you, huh?
No.
He says you're the slickest little hoodlum in town. Yes, sir, the slickest little hoodlum in town.
Save your cheap wisecracks for somebody who goes from. Hurry up and get this screwball puppet guy out of here before he kills somebody else.
But that's the point, Rocklin. He says he didn't kill the girl.
Yeah, you fool. He was holding a revolver in his hand with that punch doll. He pulled the doll down out of sight of the audience. There was 3 shots. And Jenny Graham screamed and toppled over.
Blanks. I never use anything but blanks in the gun.
How about this time?
Somebody had tampered with the prop gun. There were real bullets in it.
And you're going to claim you shot her by accident, not knowing the gun had real slugs in it, huh?
I did not kill her. I could not kill her. I fired 3 times at the floor. You will find 3 bullet holes in the floor.
I already found them.
Somebody could have gone into his dressing room while he was out for a fact. There was a light on while he was gone. I saw it. Remember my telling you?
Somebody was awfully interested in Gigi's dressing room. He and I were having a little conversation and nearly caught somebody eavesdropping.
What's your racket, sister?
I direct the dances and do the solo dance routines. I'm in charge of the line of dancing girls, the chorus. If you can call 6 girls a chorus.
Hoofer, huh? You and me will have to cut a few touches before this is over. I used to be a hoofer myself.
Look, copper, it ain't old home week. What are you going to do with this guy?
Who hired him, Rocklin?
Why, I did. Of course. I hire all the acts.
A Punch and Judy act seems like an awful funny thing for a swanky nightclub. You couldn't have hired him with any idea in mind, could you?
No. No idea, except I was bats. I was letting him go after tonight. His act smelled.
You cannot talk to me like that. The finest...
Skip it, Gigi. Is that right? Rocklin was going to let you go after tonight?
Well, yes. Until he changed his mind, just before I went on.
The union was putting the heat on me on account of a contract. He said I had to pay off, so I figured I might as well use the guy.
You hired him for big dough, and you were going to let him go after tonight. That's very interesting.
He planned this. All he wanted me for was to pin a murder onto me.
That ain't bad reasoning for a puppet guy, Gigi. Well, don't anybody else agree?
Don't ask me. I just work here. And I'd like to keep on working, if you'll get what I mean.
Smart girl.
There's only 3 bullets fired from the punch doll's gun. And there's 3 bullets in the floor. So that means there's another gun around here somewhere.
Of course there are guns around here, and permits for them, too.
All right, wise guy. I ain't interested in permits at the moment. I'm interested in seeing if there's any slugs missing from any of these guns you're talking about. Suppose you let me see them.
I can let you see mine. It's in my office.
Come on. All of you. I ain't leaving anybody alone.
You want me to come to the office, too?
Sure.
This way. I didn't have the rod with me at the time of the murder.
Hardly seems like there's any use looking after you telling me that. But I guess I'm just a suspicious type.
Okay, wait till I unlock the door.
Quite a fancy spot for a retired gangster. Well, let's see the gun.
There you are. You satisfied?
I'll let you know. Don't worry. Yeah, I'm pretty well satisfied. There's a bullet missing and the gun's still warm.
That's a frame-up. I didn't have the rod with me. I didn't shoot it. You don't get away with this, copper, see? I'm a...
Pipe down, tough guy. You hired the punch act. The girl's murdered. There's a bullet missing from your gun.
You can't frame
me. Just a minute. This is as far as I go, Rockland.
What?
He was making payoffs, officer. Big payoffs to somebody. We didn't know who, but...
Connie, for the love of heaven, what are you...
He was doing a big business, raking in money, and yet he was broke, flat. That money was going someplace to somebody who was shaking him down.
How about that, Rockland?
Okay, sure. I might as well admit I was being taken for dough. Plenty of dough. I was being kept strapped.
By this Jenny Graham, the singer?
I don't know, but that's what makes it so crazy. I ain't got the slightest idea who was shaking me down.
What? I'm laughing.
Okay, laugh, wise guy, but it's the truth. I get letters telling me to leave money.
Leave money where?
Well, never the same place twice.
Those letters must have given you a pretty good reason for coughing up. What was it?
That's none of your business.
Guess again, Rockland. Where are those letters?
I destroyed them.
What did they say? How could they threaten you?
I'm not saying, and you can't make me say.
You found out this girl, Jenny Graham, was the one getting your dough,
No, so... you fool. I didn't know who was getting it. Gigi, didn't I offer to make a deal if you'd tell me? Just before you started your act? Huh? Didn't I?
I? But how should I know who was shaking you down? I didn't even know such a thing was going on.
You lie. I heard you and Connie talking.
Oh, so you were the little eavesdropper, huh?
What of it? I've been suspicious of everybody, thinking maybe anybody might be the one who was gouging me.
And you think the punch guy knew who it was, huh?
Well, he practically said he knew.
That is quite true. When Connie told me Rockland was being blackmailed, I remembered something I had seen.
What?
I saw Mr. Rockland very carelessly drop a tube of grease paint in a dark corner backstage. A little later, somebody came along and picked it up.
What of it?
Well, don't you see? It was not grease paint in that tube. The empty grease paint tube had not been used to conceal anything but money, bills rolled into it.
And this Jenny Graham picked it up, huh?
No, that is what puzzles me. It was the stagehand, Pop.
What? Now, look here, Mr. Geechee. You can't do this to me. That ain't so, and you know it.
That won't work, Geechee.
What?
You can't pin it onto him.
But he was the one. I saw him.
No, no. I'm betting it was the singer, Jenny Graham.
No. I am telling you the truth.
Why, you...
Trying to frame yourself was a cute little racket, Geechee. It almost worked.
What?
You swiped Rockland's gun some way. It wouldn't be too hard for a guy like you who's done mechanical stuff like making puppets. You'd know locks and that kind of stuff easy.
But his gun. What good would that do to me? My gun would...
I know. Everybody heard three shots fired and there were three slugs in the floor. It was simple and good. Almost good enough.
I don't get it.
Sometime last night, when nobody was around, Gigi fired a shot into the floor right about where they'd set up his puppet stage. Nobody'd notice it. Then, tonight... He loads two slugs into his own gun before time for his act.
Oh, no. You do not know what you are saying. That would be impossible.
Oh, no. You're handy with both hands. Ambidextrous. You fire two slugs out of the punch gun into the floor right next to the one you already planted.
No.
And then, with the other hand, you let Jenny Graham have a slug from Rockland's gun. You were behind the curtains of that punch stage so nobody could see you. I bet it's the first time anybody ever pulled a trick like that in front of a whole audience.
No, Rockland's gun was in his desk.
So that's why you run back here to make a phone call in such a hurry after the murder, huh?
I did not.
Oh, yes, you did. I remember. And why deny it?
But why should I kill this girl? I did not even know her.
There could have been a couple of reasons, Punchy. She'd been shaking Rockland down for money. We've been looking so hard for a murderer, we haven't even thought about money. She got it. But where is it now?
I do not know. I know nothing.
You figured you were really getting fired on account of her shaking Rockland down so he couldn't pay off. You wanted your money and didn't want the humiliation of getting canned. You were sore at Rockland and figured you could get even by planting murder evidence against him. You were trying to kill an awful lot of birds with one stone.
But no. How could anybody fire a gun with a doll in his hand, fire it accurately enough to kill, holding the gun through the clothes of the doll?
Shucks, aside from the head and hands and feet, those dolls are just cloth. I bet I could do it. I'd get one of them.
No. You stay away from there. You fool. No. I do not let anyone rule those dolls. You
Great
cannot...
jumping whiskers.
What?
This doll here. I can't work my hand up into it. All clogged up. Hey, money. Look.
$100 bills and $1,000 bill.
All right. You are so clever. I will tell you how she was getting the money from Rockland. I am not the only murderer. Rockland, he is. She had all the proof. I found
James,
it.
James, look out!
Rockland!
I still win, Rockland. Proof. I stole from a girl into my dressing room in a trunk. All about murder you committed. And now you kill me.
You did just fine, Rockland. You took care of one murderer for us, and now, even if the proof he claimed the girl had isn't any good, we've still got you on at least one murder charge, Gigi's.
Yeah. Well, the proof's good enough, I guess. If I didn't think it was, I wouldn't have been paying off that kind of dough, would I? And they don't treat you any rougher for two murders than they do for one.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring the story Death with a Punch on an episode of Mystery House, first broadcast on radio on April 28, 1946. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Liz takes up painting as Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin star in The Marriage on the Golden Age of Radio.
Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. The sponsors of this program offer no endorsement of the opinions, philosophy, stubbornness, or confusion of the persons represented therein. However, with the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting by transcription one of the most distinguished couples in the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as Liz and Ben Marriott in the new dramatic series, The Marriage.
In the late Renaissance, so I'm told, families passed the evening with eight-part madrigals, string quartets, and the reading of epic poetry. Well, The Marriott living room is not exactly Florentine, but evenings at home occasionally do have a Renaissance touch. The other night, Pete sat on the floor creating with affectionate detail a 1906 Overland runabout. Emily was staring out of the window at the brick wall across the way, seeking exactly the right word for a literary effort, while Ben did the double acrostic from the Sunday Times. The Da Vinci atmosphere, unfortunately, stopped with me.
Hey, look out.
Lift your feet.
What are you doing?
Dusting.
Down there?
The club chair, even as you and I, has feet. Lion paws, as a matter of fact.
Lion paws? Ah, I never noticed. They are, aren't they?
This lion has come overland through the Sahara.
Do you have to do that now?
Why not?
Who is the right-hand man of Edward the Confessor?
Who wants to know?
The puzzle. I tried Athelstane and Ethelbert. They didn't fit.
I'm not surprised. Pete, can you move some of that debris?
Why, Mom?
I'm dusting.
Now?
Do you mind?
No, it's all right with me.
Thank you.
Mom, was the clutch on the 1906 Overland on the left or on the right?
Ask your father, dear. He was always the expert on clutching. Oh, dear. The radiator's starting.
Ethelred, Ethelbert, Adelpate.
Oh, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it bother you?
Certainly does. Edward the Confessor.
I mean the radiator.
The radiator? Oh, it's warm enough in here.
I mean the banging.
Oh, that.
I don't see how you can concentrate on anything with that knocking.
Oh, it's just a matter of being interested.
I don't even hear it. Didn't hear a thing.
Well, I think it's nerve-wracking.
Oh, I don't know. It's got a lot of rhythm. Two-ta-tango. Dun-ta-dun-ta-dun-ta-dun. Olé!
Well, I think it's awful. It's like living on the Aberdeen Proving Grounds. I'm going to get Mr. Lemberg up here to have him do something. Mr. Lemberg is a sweet old gentleman with a soup strainer mustache and bushy gray hair. He's the superintendent of our building, and he fights a losing battle with the machine age. I asked him to come up the next afternoon. The radiators were playing Stravinsky's Rites of Spring when he rang the buzzer. All right, Mr. Lemberg.
You want me, Mrs. Marriott?
Come in, Mr. Lemberg.
Thank you.
It's the radiators.
You don't get enough steam?
Oh, yes. They rattle.
They do?
They bang terribly.
Oh. I don't hear nothing.
Well, they were firing a fusillade till you came in. They're just hiding in ambush now.
Oh, yeah, Mrs., I understand. Them radiators are sneaky.
Yes, they are. Did you notice
that? Oh, sure. They probably knew I was coming.
I didn't mention it.
No, they got ways. Remember, there is pipes running through the whole building.
I've often worried about that.
Mrs., they know them radiators. If I'm in my good suit on Sunday, bang, 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 bang. All I gotta do is change in the overalls and hold up a wrench. Nothing.
It doesn't seem quite honest, does it?
Sneaky.
It's a little like our refrigerator door.
Oh, you got trouble with that?
Oh, it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
If you're bending way over to get something way in the back, it sort of sidles up behind you and... Oh.
It's cold, yeah. The radiators are the worst.
Ours seems awfully clever.
Smart, them radiators. Always thinking.
Do you think we have a chance against them?
Listen, missus. They got their job. We got ours. We got to keep trying.
Even though we're outnumbered?
Yes. Well, we fool them. Next time they start up, you send for me right away.
I won't say anything out loud.
You bet. We get them, missus. Well, goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Lemberg.
That's all right. Oh, Mrs. Marriott, you going to do washing today?
Why, yes, I was.
Well, look out for that washing machine on the left. It's been mad all morning. So mad. I don't know why. It always used to be so friendly. Well, goodbye, missus.
By By supper time, the radiators had settled down to sporadic small arms fire. Ben and the children were quite conspiratorial all through dinner. I couldn't imagine why till after.
Mommy, we've got a surprise for you.
I got it. Here it is.
What is it?
Open it. I haven't seen it myself.
Oh, you shouldn't have done it.
I wanted to.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Painter mat kit.
See, Mom? Open the box.
What is it?
Canvas for painting pictures.
But it's all written on.
Well, don't you see? The picture's all ready for you. All these little lines show where the colors go. See, every section is numbered.
It looks like a map of a housing project.
The paint has numbers, too.
Hey, that's clever, isn't it?
Oh, you shouldn't have done it. Believe me, Ben, you shouldn't have.
We thought it would be just the thing for you, Mommy. They're complete instructions.
The man said a child of 6 could follow him.
Left a small margin for safety, eh?
Now, Liz, it's a start.
Well, you can't go wrong.
The pictures are pre-tested on children of 6.
Do you think maybe I'd be too old?
Oh, no, Mother. Gosh, look at Grandma Moses. This can give you a creative outlook.
It's foolproof.
And I'm just a fool to prove it?
Mom, don't you like it?
Oh, of course I do, darling. It was very sweet of both of you. Of all three of you. It was very sweet of the children. And in a way, they were quite right. I used to put a lot of creative energy into my job. And then when the kids were young, that was a big undertaking and a satisfying one. But now when they didn't need me every minute, perhaps I tended to lose myself in things like dusting. I did need some way to be creative.
Pete's right. The instructions do say a child of 6 could follow them.
Ben, Marriott, you put them up to this.
No, I didn't. Emily said they wanted to buy you some painting things. I didn't know they had a painter map in mind.
Painter map?
I think it's very clever.
Well, I'm afraid I've got to do one of them. The kids would be heartbroken if I don't. What have we got?
Let's see. Sunset at sea. Night watch. End of the trail. And the court of Nero.
I'll try that. I'd like to see a picture of the court of Nero that was pre-tested on 6-year-old children. Old Grandma Marriott went at it. I squeezed the tiniest cube of number 76, which turned out to be a sort of mud green, and carefully filled in space 76, which turned out to be a section of anatomy of one of the court ladies. The painter mat company evidently was privy to several extremely advanced 6-year-olds. To tell you the truth, I enjoyed it, in spite of the instructions. The next day, on my way home from the supermarket, I wandered into the community center.
Can I help you?
I'd like to ask about painting.
Oh, of course. Now, which kind would you like? Sketch, water, oils, pastels, landscape, and light. You have to be married for light.
Well, I didn't know you were so strict. My marriage is fairly stable, but you never can tell, can you?
No. I mean life class. They use models, so we have to be careful.
I understand. I think that's a little advanced for me. Do you have anything for beginners?
Oh, yes. That's our Mr. Dandria. He's on television.
I didn't know they had artists on television.
Oh, yes. Yes, he draws Dickie the Weatherbird for the Midnight Weather Report.
He sounds formidable.
Oh, no, Mr. Dandria is wonderful with beginners. He makes it so simple. Why, it could be followed by a 6-year-old child.
I could see that the art world was hep to my level. Wherever I turned, I was immediately classified with the other 6-year-olds. I signed up for the class and bought a small set of oils, brushes, and charcoal. The family was very understanding.
Now, remember to button your smock up to the neck, Mom. That's the blouse I want to borrow this weekend.
I'll try to be careful.
Mom, can I give you some advice?
Of course, Pete.
Listen in class.
Yes.
And do what the teacher says.
I'll try.
It pays off.
I'm sure it does. Well, I suppose I might as well go.
Liz, wait a minute.
Did I forget something?
Let me look at you.
Why?
Whenever I see them go off to school for the first time, I just get a big lump right here.
You look out or I'll give you a big lump somewhere else. And so, with head held high, a furtive tear lurking in my eye, I brave the new world of the Community Center Adult Beginners Art Class. We all perched on high stools in front of our easels and waited for the master. My neighbor on the right was a large, cheerful woman, Mrs. Joachim.
And so I told Max, you put the kids to bed. Tonight, I'm going to learn painting. He says to me, what do you want to learn painting for? You're another Toulouse-Lautrec? Isn't that silly?
It certainly is.
I don't even look like Jose Ferrer.
Have you ever painted before?
I couldn't even draw a straight line. Actually, I come to see Mr. Dandria. Do you think he looks like on television?
I've never seen him on television. Is he handsome?
I don't know. All you see is his left wrist when he draws the weather bird. He has very attractive knuckles.
That's half the battle, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, here he is.
You recognize the wrist?
Who else would wear a beard and a Scotch plaid beret? Mr. Dandria. He hung his red serape on a hat rack and started right in.
Now then, everybody. 3/4 of the way up the paper, about 4 inches from the left-hand side, draw a small circle. Ready? Like this.
Oh. There.
Oh, look at that, a small circle. Oh, Max should be here.
Mr. Dandria.
Questions later.
What are we drawing?
Don't worry, Mrs.
Marriott.
I never lost a student yet.
I don't like to be surprised.
Inhibited, Mrs. Marriott?
Yes. A weak heart.
Well, I won't keep you in suspense. The first drawing is Dickie the Weatherbird.
Oh, that is wonderful. Dickie the Weatherbird.
Mr. Danville went on. We drew by numbers. Circles, squares, wavy lines. Hop, top, thrup, four. And eventually, on 12 easels, there were 12 exact reproductions of a scrawny chicken with windblown wattles. Ben was waiting up for me when I got home.
How'd it go?
Fine. Fine. Anytime you want a drawing of Dickie the Weatherbird, feel free to call on me.
How'd you like it?
I was expelled.
Expelled?
Really, Ben. It was as ridiculous as that awful painter mat, and I told him so.
What did you say?
He invented the painter mat. The family took my expulsion from art class philosophically. Pete even restrained himself from saying, I told you so. Gradually, the specter of mother as Grandma Moses faded. But now I had a guilty secret. In the daytime, when everybody was safely occupied with the world's affairs, I plied my clandestine art. I had sniffed the heady aroma of turpentine and I was hooked. Presumably, I would soon be injecting it directly into an artery. Once I was caught red-handed, well, blue-handed, as a matter of fact, a cobalt blue.
What are you doing, lady?
Huh? Oh, how did you get in?
Lemberg let me in with the passkey. I'm the plumber.
Oh, the plumber.
Mind if I set my tools down?
Are you supposed to fix the radiator?
Yeah. How do you like that? Radiators after all these years.
You don't like radiators?
Oh, it ain't that. I can take them and let them alone. You see, lady, I'm a sink man.
A sink man?
Lady, I can tell what a sink is stopped up with just by listening to the gurgle.
I used to be able to do that with a baby.
It's much the same. Except, of course, them new garbage machines on the drain.
That would be a little complex.
Oh, it isn't that. I keep losing fountain pens down them. You know, lean over to look the sink. The pen falls out of your pocket. That's all.
We don't have one.
Besides, one of those machines, you identify your garbage. Maybe you got company in the front room. All of a sudden, they hear... They know what you're doing that machine.
They do? Sounds like a great parlor game. Well, I don't want to keep you from your work. I'll just go on with what I'm doing.
Uh-uh.
What?
Uh-uh.
What do you mean, uh-uh?
Well, lady, a yellow cow is unnatural.
Look, young man. If I want to paint it puce with cinnamon stripes, that's my affair. I've had enough art instruction. If I want advice about stuffed sinks, I'll come to you. But in the meantime, I'll stuff my own sink. I mean, I'll paint my own picture.
Well, okay, lady. Don't get sore. If you want to make it a jurisdictional dispute, okay.
Let's leave it that way.
Okay. Whoever heard of a yellow cow?
Well, It was a few weeks later that I was exposed. Emily was rummaging in the storage closet looking for ice skates when she turned up my hidden hoard of canvases. She brought them out into the living room, all tied together.
Daddy, look what I found.
Emily, you put those back.
What are they?
Well, canvas boards for paintings.
Liz, are those yours? You've really been painting. That's wonderful.
Oh, they're nothing, really. What's on television?
Hey, kids, we're going to have a one-woman show. Pete, let me hear Scout and I.
Sure, Pop.
Now, stop it, Ben.
I think it's very exciting. Emily, Pete, everybody, let's sit down.
Oh, well, they're nothing, really.
Let's see.
Well, all right. You see, I wanted to paint some of the things I remembered when I was a little girl. You know, the country, the old houses, the farm animals next door. I mean, anybody can paint them better, but I'm the only one who remembers them the way I do. The whole thing seemed to be slipping away from me. And I did want you to understand. The children, too.
Let's see what they look like. There.
Well, now, this is the barn at the Slocums next door.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the old house, the rock in front. We used to sit on that and pretend it was a throne. And this is... Don't you like them?
Oh, they're very nice, Mom.
Yeah, they're very interesting.
Oh, yes. Well, it's the kind of thing Norman Rockwell draws for the Saturday Evening Post. Don't you just love his drawings? I mean, they're so real.
But these are not supposed to be real. I was just remembering.
Oh, of course, dear. It's been a long time.
I could draw better when I was 5.
Pete.
Well, I could. A yellow cow?
Now, Liz, pay no attention to that. These are... They're... you know, the chimney isn't in the right perspective. Would you like me to show you about the vanishing point and parallel receding line?
No, I don't care about perspective. As a matter of fact, I'm sick of the whole business.
Where are you going?
I'm going to throw them all in the trash can.
No, wait a minute, Liz.
I'm all through with them anyway.
Oh, wait a minute.
I have the fun of painting them. I knew what I was thinking of, even if nobody else did.
Liz, these were your first paintings. Naturally, they're a little... But they're very nice. I'm sure you'll improve with practice.
What's the use? Pete could draw better when he was 5. There. Now let's forget about the whole thing. They were all very nice to me. They took me out to dinner to Emily's favorite restaurant. And we all had Pete's favorite food to cheer me up. Ben added to the celebration with a movie in the evening, which he'd been very anxious to see. It was Moulin Rouge, which I thought was most appropriate. All about poor Toulouse-Lautrec who wanted to paint. But Mrs. Joachim was wrong. She looked exactly like José Ferrer. About a week later, things were back to normal in the Marriott Menage.
Hey, look out.
Lift your feet.
You just dusted this chair.
That was 2 weeks ago. Lift.
I thought they were supposed to be fixed.
They were. Oh, Ben, this is too much. It's ridiculous. I'm going down to get Mr. Lemberg right now.
All right.
I'll get rid of that banging if they have to rip out the whole steam system and go back to a pot-bellied stove. I marched down the stairs to the rhythm of a pipes playing a farandole, which increased in tempo as I went along. So by the time I rang Mr. Lemberg's door, I was short of breath and shorter of temper.
Yeah? Oh, Mrs. Marriott.
Mr. Lemberg.
I know, Mrs. It's the radiator sandwich. Well, they stopped. I just got out the wrench.
You've got to do something, Mr. Lemberg. They're just sitting there trying to drive me crazy.
Like in the movies, yeah. Nobody believes you, as I understand. Well, I get my tools, Mrs. Oh, come in, sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Lemberg.
I'll be ready in a moment.
I stepped into Mr. Lemberg's basement apartment and stopped short. There, on the walls, in the most beautiful carved wood frames, were my pictures. All of them.
Well, I'm all ready now, Mrs.
Mr. Lemberg, those pictures...
Oh, yeah. Funny thing, I found them in the trash. Somebody just threw them away. I had these frames. My father was a woodcarver in the old country. They just fit, don't they?
Mr. Lemberg, you like these pictures?
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Marriott, I'm in this country maybe 30 years. I'm a citizen. My son was in the army in the war. Still, you got to remember how it was when you were a little fella, you know?
I know.
I saw those pictures in the trash, and right away I remembered. Now, look, those hills could be the Schwarzwald when I was a little boy. No, not exactly, but that's the way I remember it. And in the bright sun, the cows look yellow. With the trees big, very big.
And the shadow was very black and terrifying.
Yeah, and that village, well, that village could be Dittersdorf, just like I remember. The houses looked like people.
Fat little people with staring eyes.
Yeah.
And the church tower like a tall, thin schoolmaster.
That's it, yeah, just like Herr Schnabel. Mrs., was you ever in Dittersdorf?
No. No, not exactly.
Mrs., I give you one.
Oh, no.
Now, listen, why not? Somebody threw them in the trash. Why shouldn't you enjoy them?
But Mr. Lemberg, the frame...
Oh, I got lots more. Papa was always carving. You should see the kitchen chairs. Ah, here, Mrs. Mrs., you take this picture, eh?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lemberg. Oh, you don't know what a wonderful present this is.
So, now we get them crazy radiators.
Ben and Liz Marriott will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, let us extend an invitation on behalf of our stars, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as well as the National Broadcasting Company, to all of you to drop by next week at this time for another half-hour observation and transcription of The Marriage, written by Ernest Canoy. Emily and Pete Marriott were played by Denise Alexander and David Pfeffer. Mr. Lemberg was Bill Griffiths, Miss Keynes, Ann Petoniak, Mrs. Joachim, Adelaide Klein, Mr. Dandria, Burford Hampton, and the plumber, was played by Ralph Bell. The Marriage is an NBC radio production directed by Edward King. This is Bob Denton speaking.
Mr. Lemberg had the pictures up on his wall?
Oh, he was so sweet. He said they reminded him of his childhood.
You know, Liz, looks fine hanging there.
It's a beautiful frame.
Reminds me of Central Park when I was a kid.
Oh, Ben, thank you. Good night.
Good night, darling.
Make kitchen chores lighter with music and drama on the NBC Radio Network.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy as Ben and Liz Marriott on an episode of The Marriage. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.